Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and to Srila Kratu Prabhu, my dear godbrother. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear what I just said, raise your hand. Can understand what I'm saying right now, raise your hand. One person, two people. Do you need translation?
No, it's just a mic.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Ask them who knows English.
If you know English, raise your hand.
Jo English samajhte hain, haath khada kijiye. Those who understand English,
that's cheating.
Please raise your hand.
If you don't understand English, don't raise your hand. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, Kratu Prabhu requested me yesterday to say a few words about how to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Because he said that you told him that you're interested in distributing books. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, if somebody has a book, I'd like to see one. You have a book? First, I'd like to introduce you to this highly effective means of changing the world. It's called the book. Everyone say book. I said everyone say book. Book. Okay, with a little more enthusiasm. What is this? Okay. That's on a scale of 1 to 10, that's about a 2. We try to get to 7. What is this?
Books!
Correct. So books change the world because they're containers. Inside these containers there are idea seeds. And when people receive books, they open them. The human mind is capable of absorbing knowledge. That's what makes humans special. But what makes them even more special is they can absorb spiritual knowledge. And actually, books are meant to be agents of change, spiritual change. That's why Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas down. So, even a few hundred years ago, this kind of book was not available. You had to write things down on palm leaves and other kinds of medium in order to have something that you could pass around. But nowadays, because of high technology, we can print tens of thousands of books within 5 minutes. So we are now in possession of millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita. And the purpose of Sri Krishna speaking the Gita at Kurukshetra was not just to enlighten Arjuna, but to enlighten the whole world. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that just by speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna has saved the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada's mission, as was the mission of the previous acharyas, was to bring to the world the teachings of the Lord. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions and wrote in his logo for the Gaudiya Math that the Brihat Madanga is the printing press, the means by which we can write down the transcendental message, we can write down the holy names, and we can take them house to house, business to business, school to school, hand to hand. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says, Tadvak visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abadya badyapi namanyan antasya shankitani yakshinvanti gayanti krinanti sadhava. That these literatures are meant to create a revolution in the hearts of people all over the world, re-spiritualize the world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this same desire to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, his disciple at the time, Abhay Charanaravinda. When Abhay Charanaravinda asked his spiritual master, What service can I do? His spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, said, if you ever get money, print books. So when Srila Prabhupada came to America, of course, everybody knows, he brought a box of books with him. And it just shows what you can do with one box of books. You can go anywhere and change the environment with these books. Not only that, the first property that Srila Prabhupada purchased in ISKCON was a house, and it was specifically purchased so that he could install a printing press. He took very literally the words of his spiritual master that if you ever get money, print books. Because in the early days of ISKCON, there was no money. Devotees were selling magazines for 25 cents. There were no big donors. The devotees were eating little tiny bit of rice every day and practically struggling to maintain the rent. Actually, they were eating sweet rice and other nice things. But still, money was very tight. So when Prabhupada got his first money, he invested it in a house to print, make a printing press. And throughout his stay with us here in this world, he emphasized the importance of distributing books, as did his spiritual master, as did Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is our legacy. And as I've written in my book, Our Family Business, this is the business that unites our whole movement, and which is actually the economic engine, which is meant to build the infrastructure for ISKCON all over the world. So, you may be asking, how can I distribute a book? When I describe book distribution, I always like to start at the end. The end in the mechanics of distributing a book to others happens to be asking for donation. Because oftentimes people say, oh, I don't mind distributing things, but I just don't like asking for a donation. So I'd like to clarify why we take the trouble to ask people for donations. Is it any trouble to ask people for donations? Say yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So it's a little trouble. Who's it a trouble for? The person who's asking and the person who's being asked. Krishna says this to the cowherd boys when he sent him in to beg from the Jagdic Brahmins, and they came back empty-handed. He said, if people knew how hard it was to beg, they'd always give. And if people who were begging knew how hard it was to give, they wouldn't ask. So it's a little bit tricky. But here's why we ask for donations in the first place. In the Gita, Krishna says, don't distribute this knowledge to people who are not devoted or austere. So how are you going to know if they're devoted or austere? Well, one way is to see if they're willing to give something in return for the book. One thing that they can give in return for this book is their attention. Another thing is a token. They can give some Lakshmi, some money, some rupees in return. And that gets people's attention. Because wherever people's money goes, that's where their mind goes. Just like if you take your money right now and put it in the hundi, all day long you'll be thinking of the hundi. And that's sitting on the altar in front of Krishna. So when you ask somebody for a donation and they hesitate and you see the look on their face, you know that it's a little bit austere for them to hand over their hard-earned money. And this is an opportunity. So when I ask anyone for a donation, I tell them the following. I say that we don't sell this book like in a bookstore. We ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge. It's an ancient tradition. It connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. In other words, the way I present the prospect of them offering something in return for this beautiful literature, which was painstakingly assembled by devotees, which was written by great acharyas who gave their entire lives to put this into print. When they give something in return, it connects them to those great entities. And it's for them, it's not for us. We're completely detached, we don't need any money. But they have an opportunity to give something and that way complete the circle and be part of it. So the first part I mentioned last. Be comfortable with asking for a donation and present it in a very straightforward way so that people can understand why you're doing this. It's not to make money. It's not for doing any social welfare work. It's so that they can purify themselves so they can appreciate the book. And Prabhupada said as much in his teachings to us about how and why to distribute books. He said, if they give their $10, then they'll walk away and they'll think, what has this nonsense given me? Because I spent my hard-earned money, $10, for this book, and now let me read it. If you simply give things away for free, people hardly appreciate them. For instance, Prabhupada told the story of a boy who goes door-to-door with prime mangoes and offers them for free. And everyone says, go away. And then he puts a big price on each mango and goes door to door. And people say, oh, this is very valuable. How many can I take? So in a similar way, we create a perceived value by asking people to give something, at least their kind attention, before we release the book into their care, for them to take it out into the world, into their homes, and into their hearts. So before I move to the next section, I'd just like to see if you have any questions about that. Yes? Some people would like to give a donation, but, comma, what?
They don't like to take book.
They don't like to take the book? Yeah, well, you'll find that there are lots of varieties of situations that will arise. And each one can be dealt with individually. For instance, sometimes people say that I don't have time to read. Then we say, that's all right, you don't have to read this book. You just put it in your house and it'll attract good fortune. You can ask them, where does good fortune come from? Do you know? They say, it doesn't come from working harder, because people sometimes work 2-3 jobs and they still don't get ahead. It comes from the spiritual platform. So I say, in the science of Vastu, every object in this world has its effect on us. And this is a purely spiritual object. When you keep it in your home, it attracts good fortune. Sometimes then people say, well, I don't believe in that. And I say, that's the best part. It works even if you don't believe in it. So there are many ways in which you can address individual needs and concerns that people have. And those you can learn when you associate with book distributors and you watch what they do and you can develop your repertoire. There's an answer to everything. One more question? Anything? Yes, Prabhu? I was saying we should be bold in asking for donation. But people in general are used to other religions.
That they used to think that other religions are selling their books free of cost.
That other people in other religions are giving their books free of cost. So why are we asking for money? We explain it to them very straightforwardly. The reason that we ask for a donation, it's not for us, we don't need the money. The reason we ask is, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers. It's called dakshina. You have to give some penance in order to understand the knowledge. And this is a concept that people appreciate, not only here in India, but also in the West. When I present to people in America and other Western countries, and I tell them this, that the reason we don't sell these, and the reason we don't give them away free, is because it's an important gesture to give something in return, to make some penance, because that way you can understand the book. That's a very straightforward presentation, and people understand it. They intuit it. They know that they can't just take things for granted. In fact, a lot of people are tired of taking things for free. The whole world, people giving away things for free, wasting the environment, and people have a sense, when you tell them this, that penance is important. You should do some sacrifice to take this book, not just for free. Tell them straightforwardly, just preach. What is actually correct, and they'll understand it right away. and they'll take the book and they'll give you more donation than they would have before, because it's for a well-reasoned cause that they're giving. Okay? Yeah, we were in Pune just last week and we were distributing books shop to shop. And I went into a bakery, and the man behind the counter, he was a little hesitant, and I didn't pressure him. I just said, that's all right. You keep the book. And he said later he'll come to the temple because it was nearby. We said, no problem. And we left. And later on, he came and found us. He looked for us. And he wanted to give something because I had explained to them. He said, I'll do it later. And when people say, I'll do it later, I say, that's fine. No problem. You can do it later. I just want to tell you one story before we go. Once there was a bee, and it flew into a lotus garden, and it alighted upon the most fragrant lotus flower in the garden. And as evening was approaching, a great rishi walked through the forest, and he advised the bee, you better get out, because the lotus flower is going to close. And the bee said, no, I haven't figured out. I'll come out in the morning when it opens again. The rishi walked away, and he said, be careful. This is dangerous. And that night, the lotus closed, the bee went to sleep, and then a maddened elephant came through the forest, and he scooped up all the lotuses and he ate them, and the bee was vanquished. And then the people say, oh, okay, I'll give now. So, donations are something you can meditate upon for yourself. You realize when you give to Krishna, you grow. Your capacity grows. So understand that for those that you're assisting in Krishna consciousness by going out into the world and meeting face to face and offering transcendental literature, don't deprive them of the opportunity of making some advancement by giving a little something. But also be very gentle with people. They let them give by their free will. You have to chant such good rounds and read so deeply from Prabhupada's books that when people look at you, they'll feel compelled to give something because they see that you're actually detached. You don't need anything. That creates a vacuum that sucks in people's goodwill and also their willingness to contribute when you're detached, when you don't need anything, but you're doing it for them, asking them to give something in return for their own benefit. Now, I'll tell you four laws. These are called the four laws of book distribution. What are they called? What's it called? And how many of them are there? How many laws are there? Say four. Everybody say four. Okay. So are you ready to hear the four laws of book distribution? I'm not convinced. I'll tell you why. Because why you should be interested in hearing. Because if you follow these four laws of book distribution, you'll not only be able to increase your own book distribution by double, triple, quadruple, and more, but you'll also be able to build within your own communities a book distribution empire just by following these four laws of book distribution. And if you break any of these four laws, then you may not be successful. So how many laws are there?
Four.
Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. So the first law of book distribution is your sadhana must be strong. Please repeat. Yes, because the genesis of our book distribution and our outreach to the people of the world is the taste that we have within our heart. When we have a taste in our heart for hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, for reading Bhagavad Gita, when we read Bhagavad Gita every day, at least one chapter, then on our tongues, the tongue will continue to chant it. It'll actually have a sweet taste. When we chant our 16 rounds without stoppage, then we'll feel the tongue wants to continue chanting. The ear will want to hear Bhagavad Gita rather than some mundane sound. And when you start to develop a taste, then you have something to distribute. If you can get one molecule of taste from chanting Hare Krishna with full attention and humility, you have enough to inundate. Where are you all from? What state are you from? Where's he from?
UP.
With one molecule of taste for chanting japa, you can inundate all of UP with Krishna Prema. Actually, even with one molecule, it'll spread past UP and it'll go down in, what's the next state down? Madhya? Into Madhya Pradesh, and then Andhra, and then way down into the southern, down by Cape Cormoran. It'll go across the ocean, the Bay of Bengal. It will start encroaching upon all the other, you'll go into Malaysia, Hong Kong, China. It will cross down into Australia and into the African continent, up into Europe through Russia. One molecule of taste for chanting Hare Krishna. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just one time try to taste the holy name. So you have to be strict, say, serious, sincere. Now say it together. A little louder. Now do it backwards. And when you walk out of this Balaram Hall in a few minutes, and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what was that guy talking about in there? You'll say? That's right. So strong sadhana means you should read all of Prabhupada's books regularly. Don't think they're just sitting there on the shelf because they look nice. In fact, if you have a set of Prabhupada's books, and I walk into your house, and I pick up one volume and opening it, and it makes a cracking sound like it's brand new. No one's ever opened it before. That's not a good sign. It should be all worn out, the cover soft, because you've turned so many pages. Strict, serious, sincere means you should be goal-oriented in your sadhana, especially your chanting and your hearing. Sankhya Purvaka Namaganatabhi means the Goswamis counted how many times they chanted, how many times they bowed down. So for this reason, we've created an app, both for Android and for iPhone. Does anybody here have a smartphone? Two people. You all don't have smartphones? Okay. And it's called Be a Sage. What's it called? Be a Sage. You can get it for free at the App Store. And on this, it will tell you, you can spin the little wheel and you can pick any of Prabhupada's books. And then you can pick how many pages you need to read every day to finish each one of the books within a given amount of time. For instance, did you know that if you read just 8 pages a day of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll finish the whole Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, in 5 years. You're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway, but if you read the whole Bhagavatam, see, she's into it. What's her name in the red back there? Her name? Yeah. Gaurangi's fired up about this. She's smiling. She's ready to run out and grab a Bhagavatam. Right, Gaurangi? Say yes. See? So you should know when you're going to finish the Bhagavatam, when you're going to finish the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you're going to finish the Nectar Devotion. If I wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, shake you awake and say, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? You'll say, you'll tell me the date. Not just 5 years, you'll say September 1st, 2022, I'll be finished. Because you know exactly you're on track to finish. This is strict, serious, and sincere. There's much more to be said about this, and we've written in our book about book distribution, a third of the book is dedicated to sadhana, because this is where strong book distribution comes from. If you're not reading the Bhagavad Gita every day and appreciating that you're having direct communion with Krishna through His words, then why would you go out and sell it to other people? People say stupid things to you like, oh yes, I know everything. I know Bhagavad Gita. My mother knows Bhagavad Gita. And you'll say, fine, thanks, and you'll walk away. And you won't. But when you read Bhagavad Gita and appreciate it, then you'll be compelled to give it to other people. Otherwise, you'll sell something else, like soap on a rope, which is a useless item. And so are all other things in this world, unless they're related to Krishna. So the first law of book distribution is? Your sadhana must be strong. Say it. That's the first law. Are you ready for the second? You must get books. Okay? So I want to teach you this one in a military way. When you go into the military and you go into boot camp, how many people have been through boot camp? No soldiers in here? When you go in, the sergeant will start yelling at you, and when you answer, you have to answer like this. You say, "Sir, yes, sir." So if I ask you a question as a sergeant, what do you say?
Yes, sir.
You'll be kicked out of the military. Let me show you again. You do like this. "Sir, yes, sir." You'll still be kicked out. Try it one more time. Come on, let it out a little bit now. When I say, 1, 2, 3.
Sir, yes, sir.
Correct. Now, when I tell you the second law of book distribution, I want you to say it in a military way. Are you ready? You say, "Get books."
Get books.
What is the second law of book distribution?
Get books.
Come on now, work with me. 1, 2, 3.
Get books.
Now, if you walk out this door after this seminar, somebody grabs you by the arm and says, "What was that guy talking about in there?" You'll say,
"Get books."
Correct. So, why? Why do you have to get books for book distribution? Well, we've done studies at major universities all over the world, and after meticulous data, searching through the meticulous data, we found that you can't distribute books that you don't have. This is one of the axiomatic truths. They're thinking of adding it to the laws of thermodynamics. You must have books in order to distribute books. So if you don't have them, don't come crying to me or anybody else that you can't distribute books, because without books, you can't distribute. So if you go anywhere and you have books with you, you have the possibility of distributing books. And where can you get books nowadays? It's pretty difficult to get them, isn't it? Isn't it hard to get a BBT books? It's practically impossible, isn't it? Say no, Vaisheshika. It's impossible to get BBT books. Come on, work with me. You say no, Vaisheshika. You're wrong. It's impossible to get BBT books anywhere. There, good. She's doing good. Okay. No, that's not correct. It's easy to get books.
Yes.
Is it easy to get books?
Yes.
Say, go like this. It's easy.
It's easy.
You can get BBT books anywhere. There's a go down here. It's full of books. There's a person waiting in there just to take your order. You can take them anywhere you go. Can anybody stop you?
No.
No, they can't stop you. If you want to take books, you can take books anytime. There's no rule. So in order to distribute books, you have to get them. And there's books in all different languages. There's no impediment to distributing books. You just have to get them. So what's the second law of book distribution?
Get books!
Okay, now ready for the third one. This one, you say twice. You don't have to say it military, but you have to say it twice. The third law of book distribution is, the more you show, the more you sell. Please. This one's so important that we always say it twice. So why does this work? Well, consider the fact that little Jiva is wandering around the universe. What do we call little Jiva? In ontological terms, what's the philosophy? What's he called? What kind of Shakti? Tattvastha Shakti? What does Tattvastha mean? Marginal is a little philosophical. What it actually means is open to suggestion. Every little jiva, Tattvastha jiva, is open to suggestion. You can walk up to any little jiva and say, "Hey, you know what? I got a good idea. Why don't you come with me?" And little jiva will consider it and go, "Okay, whatever you say." So that's why people put up big advertisements around the world, big billboards. Like, what's a big company? Coca-Cola. You know, but you've heard of Coca-Cola? You haven't heard of Coca-Cola? Okay, Coca-Cola. What's Coca-Cola anyway? It's sugar water. It's sugar water with a little color in it. Who knows what else? We don't know. It's a secret formula. So they put up a big sign, and it says, this is their ad campaign, it says, "Pour out a bottle of happiness." And there's a glass there. So little Jiva sees the sign. It says, "Pour out a bottle of happiness." And then, because he saw it, he goes to the store and he buys a Coca-Cola. He brings it home, and then every cell in his body is saying, "Don't you put that in here?" And he says, "No, I saw it on the signboard. I'm going to drink this Coca-Cola. It's a happiness." And little Jiva drinks the Coca-Cola. Did he get happiness? Say no.
No.
What did he get? Sugar water. He got sugar water. So if you go and actually show the real thing, little Jiva will take this too, but you have to show it. Everywhere you go, you just show little Jiva, say, here, little Jiva, come here for a second. Let me show you something. Look at this. This is a little box of happiness. Take it with you, little Jiva. And little Jiva will take your suggestion because little Jiva is open to suggestion. So that's why you have to show the books. And the more you show it, and what is the third law of book distribution? What's the second law of book distribution? What's the first law of book distribution? Correct. Now, are you ready for the fourth law of book distribution? Say yes.
Yes.
You must organize. You can do a few books here and there if you just do it as a hobby. But if you organize yourself, you can increase your book distribution unlimitedly. And in your community, you can build a book distribution empire. I know, I've seen it. I come from a tiny little temple out in California. We started with about 6 devotees. And we started by organizing ourselves to go out to distribute books, thinking that maybe if we did 50 books in one day, that would be a lot. And now, we've got about 200 devotees going out on book distribution, and sometimes they distribute 10 or 20,000 books within a week. And how? Because they organize themselves. And organization means finding out where there's room for improvement, and then making those improvements incrementally and systematically over time. So if you make 3 improvements every month, then as you move forward, you'll see that your book distribution program will increase more and more. Now, about distributing a book, I'm going to show you I'm going to do a quick drama of how I distribute a book in America, so you know. And then I'm going to tell you how I distribute a book in India, because it's very different. Would you like to see those two things really quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need a volunteer to come up here to work with me. Hi. I'm from California. Where are you from?
London.
London? I love London. Fantastic. Here, I'll show you one too. These are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?
Yeah.
Really, because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret?
Meditation.
I knew you were into this. He said meditation. Here, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. They all read this book. Can you read this? I'm showing him the Sanskrit. Say no. He can't read it. I was just testing you. Actually, it's translated into English, and out of all the translations, this has become the most popular in the universities. You see Georgetown University, USC, and here it is in a nutshell. Now I'm showing them the changing bodies. We start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. You see that? Where are you in all this?
About there.
Let the record show that he says he's about here. Then I ask him, you've heard of karma, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
Good luck, bad luck.
He said, good luck, bad luck. Whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally?
I sell incense.
You sell incense. Listen. Now, in the hardback Gita, we have, this guy used to sell incense. We don't sell this like in a bookstore. We only ask for donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask, it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations, and it allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Let the record show he just gave me 2,000 rupees. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yeah.
He said, yes. I'm going to teach you a beautiful prayer. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. Now, if he says no, then I say, perfect. I'm going to give you a mantra. So we hand him a card, a mantra card. I say, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare
Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Hare
Hare. Now I pull out some prasadam and I hand him. Navinia, got a lollipop on you? Okay. I hand him some prasadam and I say, thank you for taking your valuable time. If there are more people like you, it would be a better place to live. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please give him a hand. So I teach devotees all over the West about a template. This is a simple template. In fact, I have it written down. There's some cards. I have it written down on a card, and you can follow through on this. This tells how to sell a Gita. And everything I just said and the sequence in which I said it is on this card. So there's 10 of them here. You can share them in your yatra, pass them around. And you can now this is something else. This is a different thing. This card will tell you, give you a template to work from of how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. So I'll teach you a few mechanics. How are we doing for time, Krati Prabhu? Okay, I'm going to teach you a trick of mystic power. Would you like to learn some mystic power?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, hold up your right hand. Come on, hold up your right hand. Now from your right hand, you can shoot a powerful beam that hits another person and bounces back to you, and it'll tell you information about that person that informs you of whether that person wants to take a book or not. Okay? Are you ready? Hold up your hand. Point it at somebody else. Not me. I can't handle it all. Point it at somebody. Come on, hold up your hand. Point your hand at somebody. And when I say three, I'm going to give you the mantra, and you repeat after me. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hi.
Hi.
Now look around the room. Whoever did you shoot with your beam? What are they doing right now? They're smiling, right? Because when you hit somebody with this beam, you're going to get information back. What if I go to the streets of Delhi and I go to somebody and I say, hi, what might they say? They might say nothing. They might pretend like you don't even exist, right? Is that possible?
Yes.
Say yes. Yes, possible. So what do you do when a person ignores you? Okay, A, you chase them down the street and you say, please, 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 pay attention to me. I'm trying to show you something nice. Or B, you just give them good thoughts, good wishes, and you let them go. A, B. Is it A or B?
B.
You're correct, it's B. So what we're looking for when we go out into the world are the ripe fruits. What are we looking for? Correct. When you go to pick fruits from a tree, what do you look for first? Correct. So, huh? B?
Repeat B.
Pick B? B means you let them go. If somebody's not interested, they show disinterest, then you let them go and give them good wishes from within your heart. So when you're picking ripe fruits, you look for the ripe fruits. And similarly, when you're looking for people, you look for those who are ripe. They're open. And how to find them? Hi. Just make a gesture, eye contact, and you can see. If they're open to talking to you, they'll smile. They'll have some recognition. If they're not, they'll go like this, or they won't pay attention to you. Let them go. You don't have to pick the unripe fruits, okay? Simple principle, change your life. So, once you make some contact with people, then it's important to qualify them before them handing them a book. So if I just walk up to you and I say, here, you don't know why you're doing it, why I'm doing it, and therefore you may reject it. So if you ask a question first, I'm from UP, where are you from? I'm from UP, where are you from?
UP.
Say UP. UP. You're from UP too? Fantastic, I love UP. Here, this is from UP to UP. It doesn't matter, but you have to get some orientation for people. Ask them a qualifying question so you can pass on this knowledge, put it in their hand. They'll appreciate it. Then, when you hand it over, you need a mantra. Tell them what the book's about, what's in it for them. Books on yoga and meditation that shows you how to get free from stress, and you hand the book over. It's right on the card. Then we ask questions, because questions lead the conversation. What do questions do? Whoever's asking questions is leading the conversation. So you have to become a master asker. You have to learn how to use questions. So we ask, you've heard of stress? He says, yes. If he says no, that's fine too. You've heard of stress, right? Say no. No. I can tell you, you don't look stressed at all. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret? And we go on from there. The rest is on the template. So you can follow this template and come to the conclusion of offering this to people, and we ask for the donation at the end. Now with Indians, if you walk up and you hand an Indian a Bhagavad Gita, what are they going to say? I know everything. I have books. My mother knows Bhagavad Gita. My grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. Why are you handing me a Bhagavad Gita? I'll tell you, a few years ago, on the last Ekadashi in Kartik, we stood in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir and we sold 1,008 Bhagavad Gitas. And how did we do it? We handed the book to Indians and we said, this is not for you. This is not for you. They were about to say, I know Bhagavad Gita, my mother knows Bhagavad Gita, my grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. But this mantra, it short-circuited their whole program. So we're going like this. Here you go. This is not for you. It's not for you. It's not for you. And then we tell them that you already know Bhagavad Gita. Your mother knows Bhagavad Gita. Your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. And they're going like, yeah, you're right. So this is not for you. Oh, it's not for me. Then they can understand and accept it. Say, this is because you already know Bhagavad Gita for you to give to other people. Because you know more about Bhagavad Gita than I do. You should present that to people. Because they're thinking, why is this person telling me anything? I already know everything. So, thank you. So if you start in that way, when you're talking to Indians, then you have an opening. The other way in which I approach Indians all over the world is I don't hand them anything. I simply make friends. For instance, if I knock on a door and they open the door, I say, hi, how are you? I'm from a local ISKCON temple, and it's nice to meet you. We're just going all over the city today. We have about 7,000 of us, so you're surrounded. And what we're doing is something that you already know about. You know more about this than I do. But what we're doing is we're translating Bhagavad Gita into many languages. We're starting schools to teach Bhagavad Gita. And we're promoting Bhagavad Gita because, as you know better than I do, the world's problems can only be solved from a spiritual solution. And as you see them appreciating what you're telling them, then you can say, so we're just asking for money. We're collecting donations. Just tell them very straightforwardly, without giving them anything, only telling them what you're doing. They'll be very happy then to go and come back and bring you a donation, because they're happy to help these kinds of things. After they give the donation, then you can give them as many books as you like. So one of the ways in which we're selling full sets of Srimad Bhagavatams, I just got a message last night from two of our devotees up who just traveled to Toronto to teach how to do sets of Srimad Bhagavatams. And they're going to many of the Indian houses. They sold 14 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams last night. That's for a cost of $250 US each. And the way that they're doing it is to present that we're here on behalf of what we call Go Matsya. It's our new program, Matsya Save the Vedas. And we're inviting everybody to be part of this great mission to save the Vedas. The fruit of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can be part of it. Our motto is preservation through mass distribution and education. And instead of asking people to buy a set of Srimad Bhagavatams, we ask them, as is their God-given right as being born in Bharat, to join Go Matsya and help preserve the Vedas. They're very happy to do that. And after that, they're very happy to also purchase a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams to keep their house. So the approach is to include them, not sell Indians something, that they already have this, but to invite them into the greater mission, to pass this on to other people, and also keep yourself in a lower position. Never present yourself as the authority, present them as the authority, and you're humbly offering them what they already know. Those are a few tips about talking to Indians, and we found it to be very successful. Yes?
Can you talk more about set distribution?
Set distribution is on the rise everywhere. Now, if you follow the laws of book distribution, the second law is? That's correct. And the third is? Two times. Say it twice. So if you were going to follow the laws of book distribution in order to sell sets of Bhagavatams, what would you do first? You would get books. Actually, first you'd read the Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's the first law. Second law is you'd go out and get some Bhagavatams. Third is? Yeah, so if you show people Bhagavatam, they'll take it. It's simple as that. You just have to keep showing it. I was at a Rath Yatra with Vijay Prabhu, and we were on the beach at Los Angeles. People walking by in their bathing suits. And so he kept showing the Bhagavatam. He's saying, take this Bhagavatam, take the Bhagavatam. And I'm thinking, nobody's going to buy it. We're here on the beach. And I turned around for a few minutes, turned back. The Bhagavatam was gone. I said, Vijay, where's the Bhagavatam? He said, I just sold it. It taught me a lesson. Keep showing, keep showing, keep showing. And finally, you'll find there's ripe fruits. They'll just say, Bhagavatam, yeah, I'll take 10 of them. But you have to have it. If you keep a Bhagavatam with you, then you have a possibility of selling it. But a full set. But we found in studies at major universities all over the world that if you don't have a set of Srimad Bhagavatams, you can't sell it. I said we've studied at universities all over the world, double-blind studies, scientific. We found that if you don't have a set of Srimad Bhagavatams to sell, then you can't sell it. That's why you have to follow the second law of book distribution. And the third. Okay? Yes? In some small preaching centers where they don't have a lot of books, they may be nervous to buy large quantities, especially sets, because they don't know if they're actually going to get sold. So they just have people order the books. Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained. The biggest entrepreneurial successes in the world took great risk. They put themselves on the edge. They mortgaged their house in order to make their product available to the world. So if you want to hold back and just be a little timid, then maybe you'll inch forward a little bit. And that's fine. It's no problem of going very slow in life. But if you want to actually hit a six, is that what they say? Is it in cricket? You have to take a big swing. So there's no harm in ordering books. They'll always sell. You can have faith in that. And incrementally, you can try it. Take a risk. Yes, Prabhu? You need more books from the BBT. Make a good relationship with your local BBT trustee, and so that you can talk about these things. In America, we have what's called the North American Sankirtan Leaders Team, and we all discuss which books we want, how much quantity we want, and we communicate regularly with our BBT, and therefore we get the books that we want and need. So it's a matter of open communication. Lots of people just come up to the BBT and say, you know, we should have this or that. They just say it on the fly, so they don't take it very seriously because they have to print large quantities. So it has to be done in a systematic way. So we'll just take two more because you all have other programs to go to. Yes? Generally, people say in India, if you keep Bhagavad Gita at home, then it'll create fight. Yeah, what's wrong with a little fighting? It makes life exciting. You don't like to fight? What's wrong with fights? Yeah, fights are good. And when people give objections, honor their objection. And so, you know, people say all kinds of crazy stuff, but just be straightforward with them. And I don't know, out of 100 people, how many people say that? 10%? So, Navina, what do you say when people say, this will cause a fight in my house if I keep Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Give it as a gift to your enemy. See, you've got to ask Navina, then you know. Yes? If somebody says their financial condition is weak and they can't buy it, what should we do? Well, first of all, it's not true. People who say their financial condition is not weak have plenty of money. Oftentimes we find the poorest people are happy to give. We even find that beggars will give, and they should, because we can even beg from beggars. But people say this as a natural reaction to being asked for something, as a defensive mechanism. We say, so donation, and then people, just like when you go to the doctor and they test your reflex and they hit your knee, it goes like this, right? So when you ask somebody for a donation, they'll go, I don't have any money. Is it true? No, it's not true. So then, there's a couple reasons why people say that. One is they're not sure how much to give. So you can clarify it. You can say, listen, the book costs us around 100 rupees. Anything you give over that is a donation. And that helps to clarify in their head. Because they're thinking, I want to give 50, but if I give it, I'll insult this person. So they get confused. And the confused mind always says no. So clarify it. Tell how much it costs. The other thing that we do is we say, that's all right, just give whatever you can. And also, when people say, I don't have any money, I say, fine, we don't take money. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, carte blanche, and be ready to take credit cards. Then oftentimes they say, oh yeah, I just found 100 rupees here. I forgot I had it right here in my pocket. And sometimes they say, I don't have any money. We just say, that's all right, just give one paisa. You can give one paisa. You give one rupee. It doesn't matter. Like, I can't give a rupee. They say, no, just give a rupee. It's like, all right, here's 100. So it takes a little bit of finesse, and you can learn that very easily by going out with people who are distributing books and just watching for a couple of hours, and you'll see for yourself. So I'd like to thank, yes, I'd like to thank His Grace Kratu Prabhu for inviting us here today. We have one question from the window, so we're going to definitely have to take that one. Yes, Prabhu.
He says this brings fire for the good cause, but it brings it resolve.
What's that?
Fight.
Oh, fight.
It brings fight for the good cause.
It brings fight for the good cause. Yes, that's a very straightforward way of presenting it.
Resolve.
Yes. Frankly, I've never heard that argument, and oftentimes in our seminars, devotees bring up anecdotal incidents. They'll say, what if somebody says this? What if somebody... It's very rare people say things like that. But in any case, you can always find an answer to everything. But what I find, wherever I go all over India, is generally people are very happy to take the books. 90%, 95% are very open. When we went out in Pune, we just went shop to shop. I can only think of one place that didn't take books. Everybody else, they're very happy to take. And if you just practice going out, meeting people, and leaving everybody with a good impression, whether they take a book or don't take a book, that's not the concern. The main point is, make friends with people, make them feel special, leave them with a good impression. You'll be happy wherever you go, you'll sell tons of books, and they'll go home with a transcendental treasure to keep the rest of their lives. And the very last point, make it good. Yes? Please do that. Organize that project. What? No, we're appointing you to take charge of that project to make sure there's quotations everywhere. Please, if you agree that he should be appointed to take charge of this project, then give him applause. You're duly appointed to take up the position of installing quotations so that when people come to the temple, they'll be able to relate to the book and take them. This is your new service. Thank you. Hare Krishna. We have to end now because we have only 10 more minutes before it's time to greet their lordships. And I'd like to thank my good friend and mentor in Krishna consciousness, His Grace Kratu Prabhu, for keeping me under some, allowing me to be under his guidance wherever I go. We've been together for many, many years since we did book distribution together in Chicago and Wisconsin. We drove in the freezing cold across the Wisconsin snow plains. We got pulled over by the police because the brake light was out, and he talked his way out of a ticket. He's so expert. And then we went from house to house teaching Krishna consciousness, and I learned so much from watching him. So I thank him very much for bringing me in here today to meet with all of you exalted devotees. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Itai Gaura Haribo 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 Itai Gaura Haribo Itai Gaura Haribo 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 Itai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakalpa Durbhusha Kripas Nabe Vichapatitanam Pavani Bio Vaishnabe Bio Namona Mahanatagodi Vaishnavi Niki Jai.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.